This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, I am talking to Professor Sarah Metcalf, the Interim Provost and Chief Executive of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Professor Metcalf, Sarah, thank you for talking to me. Let's begin with the thorny issue of the sale by your local partners, YTL Bausted, of their shares in Nottingham University, Malaysia. Now, the close period was a difficult one for you because it prevented the university from talking about the whys and wherefores of this transaction occurring. So here's the chance now. Why are your local partners selling the shares in the joint venture?
Well, frankly, I think that's a question for them, not for us. Our understanding is that Bausted, who are the primary shareholders, I have to say YTL only hold a small percentage of the shares, is that Bausted have been restructuring their whole business to focus on their core interests. And although they have been partnering with us in the university sector for a long time, running a higher education institution is not part of their core business. So our understanding is that as part of that refocusing of their business, they expressed a desire to sell their shares. But as I say, if you want the details, you need to ask them and not us.
Well, the thing is, during the period where you're not allowed to talk about anything about the transaction, there were a lot of rumours and speculation in the market as to what was happening with the university, most notably among the parents and the students themselves. It was quite unsettling for the faculty and the student body themselves, understandably. What can you tell, you know, the stakeholders, the parents and the students themselves about the university and its basically its position in the local education space? Do you stay? Do you go? Are you spending more money? Are you taking resources away? What's the position?
Okay, well, I think the fact that the university has determined to buy the shares, Bausted shares, indicates the university's long-term commitment to Malaysia. So it's a big investment on the part of the University of Nottingham UK to buy out those shares, and our intention is to buy out both the Bausted shares and the YTL shares, if possible, to have 100% ownership. So I hope that people will see that as a big commitment from the university to stay and to develop what we do here. That's very much the intention. So we are looking to expand our operations in Malaysia, but also to look at what we do and to make it more aligned with what will we hope will be good for Malaysia. So through talking to our stakeholders, and that includes obviously the students and the parents, but also our industrial partners, government departments, to see how we can better align what we do with what we hope will help to deliver the aspirations of Malaysia. So that may be through the, some of the things that are set out in the 12th Malaysia Plan, but it's through offering greater upskilling. We focus, I guess, on particular areas like digital in many contexts. So our plan, if you know, when the deal goes through, is very much to make greater investment in the campus because, you know, as a university, although we are a private company, we are not having to provide return to shareholders. So our strategy will be, when we're able to make a profit, is that any of that profit will be reinvested in the university.
Well, my understanding is that the local partners owned in the region of 60% of the joint venture. That's a fair whack for the university to be buying back from, you know, your partners, essentially. It's going to cost a bit of money. Not sure whether you can tell me how much that equity stake is going to be worth. But necessarily also in terms of investment into the campus and to the university, having spent that money buying back those shares, will there be any left over to reinvest into the campus? I think that's the key question here.
Yes, so I'm not going to tell you how much the university is planning to pay. You won't be surprised to hear that. But yes, I mean, we realise that, you know, it's an initial investment, but then there has to be future investment. So some of this will be obviously have to be funded by borrowing through the usual commercial channels. And we've been talking to our banks about those facilities. But also, we will be getting support from the University of Nottingham in the UK. It is part of its commitment to help us develop to the point where there will be startup costs under the new arrangements. And we definitely need both to catch up in terms of investment on things like infrastructure, but then also to make strategic investments for the future.
Yeah, so now that you're masters of your destiny necessarily with, owning 100% of the foreign campus, as you said, mentioned earlier, there is no profit compulsion to shareholders now going forward. That presumably means good news for the campus and for investment into the campus. And also, I think just also in terms of the what used to be previous regulations with local Bumiputra equity partners, does that mean that you don't have those regulations anymore? Those two questions, how do you answer them?
Okay, so yes, it should mean in due course. Yeah, there will be more investment, and we have a 5-year, a medium term financial plan over a 5-year period, which incorporates the investment in the early stages and then, significant investment in the early stages. And then hopefully when we move into a sort of new state, a new way of operating, we'll then be ploughing the profits back into the organisation to keep that development going. In terms of the requirement to have a Bumiputra partner, you're absolutely right. When we were first invited to come to Malaysia, back in 1998, it was absolutely a requirement to have a Bumiputra partner. Those rules have now changed, and it is no longer a requirement. So there are other foreign branch campuses, places like Monash, for example, who are completely owned by Monash in Australia.
Yeah, but of course, recently I also spoke to Southampton University. They've also set up here. In terms of enrolments, I'm sure the pandemic hasn't been kind to enrolments for any educational establishment all over the country or the world. I think your student body was in the region of 5,500 students. Now I think it's about 5,000 or so. The vast majority of them came from the local population, I think about 70% odd. 30% came from the international student body. What's the key priority for you, Sarah, in terms of, managing the business? Is it emphasis on the local body or the foreign body? And if it's the foreign body, how do you go about doing it?
Okay, so yes, I mean, everybody has suffered over the period of the pandemic in terms of recruitment. Actually, the foreign branch campuses, ironically, have suffered less than other independent higher education providers. And I think actually also less than some of the Malaysian public universities. Although our numbers did drop for recruitment in 2021, actually we did meet our targets. And actually the area where we had fewer students than normal was in terms of Malaysian undergraduates. So in the short term, at least, that's a real priority for us, because it's important that we do have that absolute core of Malaysian students. So in fact, we're just starting on a series of open days around Malaysia. Also, we are, we do pride ourselves on our international students. The international recruitment has held up extremely well. In fact, we exceeded our targets last year. But we realise it's still a very volatile situation. But we're going to be looking at that, because part of what we think we offer is that international experience on the campus. It's a chance for students and staff from many countries to mingle together, to share views and experiences.
Yeah.
I think in the short term, a big effort's going to be into recruiting, rebuilding our Malaysian student numbers, particularly at undergraduate level.
So what's the impediment to building up this local student body? Is it wallet size? Is it livelihoods being affected by the pandemic? Obviously Nottingham University is not the most expensive tertiary educational institution, nor is it the cheapest. I think your typical undergrad program costs about 40,000 ringgit a year. You've also got on-site campus accommodation, but it's not cheap either, right, Sarah? What can you tell us about the affordability, access to the local body?
You're right. Obviously, people have been affected, and some people have been very severely affected financially. So I think it's probably a combination of things. It will be around even if it's not an immediate financial impact, obviously there's been uncertainty around the future. And if you're signing up for an undergraduate degree, you're signing up for 3 years. And so you need to be certain you can sustain that level of financial commitment. So I think it may be partly around uncertainty as well as any immediate financial issues. I think also, you know, during the pandemic with lockdown, for us, historically, a big part of being a University of Nottingham, Malaysia undergraduate or student of any sort has been the campus experience. And of course, it wasn't possible to go onto campus. You know, all teaching had to move online. And so, well, why go when all you're going to do is sit in your bedroom and have a conversation with somebody over the internet, when perhaps if you wait another year, you might be able to actually go and have a full experience. So, you know, clearly we're hoping that this year, with the campus reopen, and we hope now that trajectory towards it staying open, that will pick up perhaps some people who weren't able to come last year.
I'm talking this morning to Professor Sarah Matkelf, the Interim Provost and Chief Executive of University of Nottingham, Malaysia. We'll come back after this, Sarah, and talk about the international student body, the emphasis there potentially, the facilitative measures and how smooth it's been for international students to come. And of course, beyond that, more macroeconomic issues which are affecting your university. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Professor Sarah Matkelf, the Interim Provost and Chief Executive of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. So in terms of the international student body, I think about a third of your students come from abroad, you know, China, Singapore, the Middle East. I think primarily China is a major contributor. The Middle East and, you know, obviously the Gulf states as well contribute a lot, Africa as well. Has it been an easy process for international students to come, Sarah? Or has Malaysia's education sector been laboured, burdened somewhat by the intermediaries, the middlemen that have so long plagued Malaysian business?
No, it hasn't been easy. I think it's fair to say it hasn't been easy in many countries, but there have been issues, both in terms of getting new students in, but also in terms of allowing existing students to continue. So as you may be aware, student visas are only issued for 1 year at a time. So even if you are on a three-year program, so for example, if you're doing a PhD, you have to renew that visa. And of course, for some students, that's become problematic because they're often required to leave the country and come back in. And that simply hasn't been possible during the pandemic. Along with the fact that sometimes they've had to renew passports. And again, that's been very difficult with their home countries. So yes, it has been challenging. And I think it's recognised across the whole sector that this is an issue for Malaysia. You know, there is this aspiration to significantly increase the number of international students studying in Malaysia up to, you know, 200,000 or more. And yet you keep hitting this logjam around both the issuing of visas and then the conditions that are attached to visas. And that is a real problem.
Yeah, Sarah, you're reasonably fresh off the boat in terms of getting a taste of Malaysia's bureaucracy. I understand you were nominated to the post last year and you've only just been in Malaysia a couple of months. You know, the UK has been a preferred destination for foreign students for many, many years. I was one of them as well. While it wasn't easy by any stretch, it was also not extremely difficult. What can you tell us in terms of comparing and contrasting both jurisdictions' approach to the foreign students? What can Malaysia do better, I think? And how can it learn from the UK's experience in welcoming foreign students?
Okay, so I think I would identify three areas. First of all is issuing visas, as I mentioned, for the duration of the programme of study. And this was something that was almost came into place in Malaysia in 2018 and was then fell apart with the change of government. So that was really unfortunate. The second area is that in the UK, as an international student, you are allowed to work while you are in the UK to support your studies. And that actually is particularly problematic for Malaysia for students coming from South Asia. So, for example, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. But also, if you want to attract students from Latin America, they need to work while they're studying. And at the moment, that's not possible. So they can't, it's just not on their radar. And the third area is permission to work once you've graduated, at least for a limited period of time, maybe a couple of years, something like that, which means you can actually bring back into the place that's trained you. You can actually give back into that economy through being part of the workforce. So those are the three things that I would identify.
Yeah, it does seem as if the international student is kind of like a long-term tourist because he or she spends money in the country by paying school fees, by, the economic multiplier effects of accommodation and shopping and working and paying taxes to the extent that they do. Where's the logjam here, Sarah? Which institution, which ministry, should you be interacting with and talking about these issues to them? Because the education sector in Malaysia is, flawed and on so many levels.
Well, I think, we've had conversations both individually and as a sector with the Ministry of Higher Education, and they realise that this is a problem. But there seems to be a logjam between what ministries like MOE want, what things like MDEC want, even what EPU want, the Economic Planning Unit, and what EMGS, which is the main body that deals with visas, is actually able and willing to offer. So, we are prepared. We will obviously want to offer all support and help to things like MOE in those conversations. But, it's a political decision. And so there has to be a conversation between, if there's any sort of tension about concerns about immigration and employment within Malaysia, that has to be balanced against the aspirations to attract those international students to Malaysia with all the benefits to the Malaysian economy, and to wider society that those students can bring with them.
Yeah, the middleman bane that Malaysia is so often criticised for. To whom, to which country is Malaysia losing out to, if that's the case? I'm sure it's a beauty contest all over ASEAN. Singapore does attract students. The Thais do attract the students. Who benefits at Malaysia's expense?
Yeah, so obviously, historically, Singapore has been a huge centre and it offers very high quality education. There's no doubt about that. Big growth in Indonesia, lots of activity in Indonesia, international campuses moving there, a lot of engagement with Indonesia internationally. Of course, for those who can go further afield, as you say, there's always historical relationships with the UK, North America. Again, very open in terms of allowing international students to work while they're there. Australia. Yeah, there are plenty of places to go.
And yet you've decided to put your chips down here, Sarah. I mean, I think Nottingham's been here 21 years. It's not a short space of time. And I think that apart from Malaysia, China is the only international outpost for you guys. Why are you staying the course here then?
Well, because we believe that, we really enjoy being here. We think Malaysia has many opportunities, not only because of what's happening, potential within Malaysia itself, but you touched on that sort of wider ASEAN region. And we know that's, this is an area of huge potential growth in the next few years. It's a great position to be in, sort of geographically. That's why we want to be here. That's why we want to continue that commitment.
Professor Sarah Matkalf, the Interim Provost and Chief Executive of University of Nottingham, Malaysia, on the grill this morning. Now, one of the things that Nottingham University talks about is its heavy research focus as a prime attribute that differentiates it from other universities. Unfortunately, it's not the only university that mentions its research chops, as it were. Sarah, why does it matter? And research tends to be backroom and, academia, not really rooted in the real world. You're shaking your head at me on Zoom. You disagree.
I am, sorry.
Yeah. Discuss.
Yeah, well, yes, there's a certain element of research that, as you say, is backroom and not real world. But I think you're not up to date with what research is about now, because research is increasingly and exactly about the real world and doing work that is relevant and has impact, and helps to improve people's experience and people's lives. And that's very much the position, not only of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, but the University of Nottingham as a whole. So our whole sort of strategy for the university, our whole mission, is around trying to make people's lives better in different ways. Now, that might sound quite grandiose, but there are some practical things that can come out of that. So it's partly around education and opportunity, but it's using our research to look at things that matter to people. So it might be around employability, it might be about improving the efficiency of business, it might be around improving data analytics in business, it might be around improving production methodologies and reducing energy consumption, it might be around food production and how we feed more people in a changing climate. So at UNM in particular, we've really identified four areas of research that we think are particular strengths. So we've got great interest in the environment, particularly around water. We've got strong interest in what's called future food, which is very much around both the production of food, but also looking at how do you get the best possible nutritional value out of different types of food by the way they're grown and the way that they're processed. An interest in industry and entrepreneurship and how that moves forward, but also with a more social focus around reducing inequality and improving people's lives.
I'm afraid we've run out of time, Sarah, as the old adage goes. Time flies when you're having fun. I'm sure we can have talked about these issues a lot longer, as well as your research core focus, which is climate change and flooding, which I think is something that you personally have a long and established track record in. Perhaps next time, Sarah, for next time. Good luck with the business plan. I'm sure you'll enjoy Malaysia like a lot of international travellers do. Thank you for spending time with me. I was talking to Professor Sarah Matcalf, the Interim Provost and Chief Executive of the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.